Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and today is May 14th, 2014. We're going to have a quick, rather 30-minute long interview with Bruce McIntosh, one of the board of directors for Denver Comic Con and Comic Book Classroom. This interview took place on the 13th of May, 2014, and we're about a month away from Denver Comic Con proper. I hope you look forward to our coverage of it, and I hope you'll check out our interview coming up as our featured presentation. Welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm here with
Bruce McIntosh,
and we're here to talk a bit about, well, what it is you do, who you are, and what you do. So, who are you, and what do you do?
I wear lots of hats. I am the programming director for the Denver Comic Con, which means that I'm basically the showrunner. I create the content, and with help, obviously. I don't do it all by myself, but create the content and make it happen on the day of the show, which includes 14 panel rooms, including large main events and the Belco Theater, and the smaller panel rooms with more subtle and discreet topics on education and things like that. I'm also the chairman of the Comic Book Classroom, our literacy, kids' literacy organization.
So, going to Comic Book Classroom, were you there from the beginning? I think you were one of the co-founders for that, or
yes,
one of the founders for Comic Book Classroom.
I was there from pretty much the beginning, yeah.
In the beginning, there was Bruce.
Wasn't just me. There was a bunch of us who came together, putting our expertise together to not only start the Literacy Foundation, but find a way to fund it, and that was the Denver Comic Con.
Mm. So, why Comic Book Classroom? Why that approach?
Well, if you've ever read Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics, and it's kind of that seminal work that's the foundation of a lot of what our philosophy is, and I remember this term, the juxtaposition of words and images. It helps people learn, and it also inspires kids who may not be willing or used to picking up a prose book and reading it cover to cover. But when you put images on there, it makes it interesting, it's dynamic, it's something they can get into. So that's the attraction of comic books. And most of us in the organization, and a lot of people I'm sure listening, learn to read through comic books. A lot of people weren't big readers of books, but when they hit those comic books, they learn to read and learn to love to read. And guys like Stan Lee and some of the writers for the comic books were using big words and interesting concepts, and we loved it, and it inspired us to read and learn more and go into our respective careers as scientists or lawyers and so forth. So we want to do the same thing with the Comic Book Classroom. Get kids interested in reading, get kids interested in learning, not just through comic books, but that's a large component of it. We have a curriculum that where kids create their own comic books, create their own characters, and then put them in settings and all the stages of that, and what goes in a word balloon, what is a word balloon, things like that. And kids love it. And just as importantly, the teachers love it because it inspires their kids to learn. It's a way to get kids involved in all that. So that's what our curriculum does. We provide it to teachers. One of the things we do is provide it to teachers to use in their classrooms. And then they can get their kids to reading or getting something positive out of other forms of pop culture like TV and films.
When I was growing up, actually, in first grade, our teacher used comic books to help us get into reading, because when I was growing up, there was no Harry Potter, there was none of that big push toward that. I grew up with Gladstone Comics and some Marvel. DC was considered a little too controversial for the classroom at that point. What did you grow up with comic book-wise?
Oh, wow. When I was a little kid, I remember going to the barber shop, and they always had the comics stacked on this stand. And I went for DC, and I went for Justice League and Metal Men. And from this day, I still love... I memorized, when I was a kid, the periodic table of the elements because of the Metal Men. So... sure, people are thinking nerd, but that's who I am. And in fact,
I mean, right now I'm thinking my most obscure thing with I think DC was Doom Patrol.
Oh, Doom Patrol is great too.
Yeah, but Metal Men.
Metal Men. Yeah. You know what are the properties of iron? What can Mercury do? You know, and I can still remember to this day, Mercury is the only metal that's liquid at room temperature, and I learned that from the Metal Men. And in fact, what I did this weekend, I have a daughter who's 9 years old, and she's not into the Metal Men. She didn't come at it organically, but she loves Pokemon. So we printed out a wall poster of the Pokemon periodic table of the elements. And so she's going to be sitting there, and she's going to be memorizing, you know, she's going to be learning physics simply by associating it with something she's really into. With me, it was comic books. With her, it's Pokemon. And it's just a way to get her to learn and have fun doing it. And that's what we're all about.
Oh, and it kind of helps that this fall, we're going to have the remakes for Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire on 3DS.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to buy those.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. And I'm prepared. And I have a 24-year-old son. And he grew up on Pokemon. So we know every edition we have to get a new DS.
Definitely. Yeah. one of the things that we love about Denver Comic Con is the amount of street passes that we get through that through 3DS. Mm-hmm. But going back to growing up, did you grow up here in Colorado?
Yes, I grew up in Boulder.
Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what brought you here to Denver?
Wow, that was a long and winding road. I went to high school. Fairview High School in Boulder, and then I went to CU and graduated with an undergraduate degree. Then I actually moved to Denver when I went to law school at DU in the late 80s. And so I had a couple of years practicing law in California and came back to Colorado and have been running my own business since then. But Colorado native and stuck around Denver, and so... these are where my roots are.
It's best to return to one's roots.
Yes.
Especially if they're in Colorado.
Yeah.
Being a military brat, I just went all over the place. So I found my way here. I think this is where I'm going to stay.
Yep.
Gotta love that. So since you were in there near the beginning, what were the initial first couple days of comic book classroom, or first couple months of comic book classroom like, before the launch of the first Denver Comic Con?
Well, the comic book, when I came on, I had been running with someone else, Michael Newman. We had been running Comic Fest, which was a sub part of the Starfest convention here. And so we were running the first, essentially the first comic book convention, a small one, but it was an original. And so when we came on to help out with the comic book classroom, the idea of comic books and literacy had already been formulated, and the organization, they were starting to write the curriculum and make that all take form, and that's actually what brought me on to what made me excited about this. Is, you know, I was already doing a comic convention, but to do it for the benefit of kids and literacy, that was terrific. So I was right in there and going, let's make this something where we can showcase the literacy and the curriculum. And so that's actually been my mission. So that's not quite answering your question, but I was sitting at the table and we were going, okay, let's name it Denver Comic Con, and we're going to do this comic book classroom, and how can we take the comic book classroom and integrate it into Denver Comic Con?
Kind of the Denver Comic Con and Literary Conference.
Yes.
Yeah, because, like, isn't the full name of it Denver Comic Con and Literary Conference?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The official full name.
For right. Denver Comic. When that's kind of the tagline. The actual name of the literary conference is Romo Coco, Rocky Mountain Conference and Comic Books and Literature. I think I got that wrong. But it's Romo Coco.
Oh, that sounds like it's at Denver Comic Con or DCC or Comic Book Classroom or CBC is a little bit more catchy than
right.
Romo Coco. Romo Coco sounds like Romo Coco touring with Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus. Unfortunately.
It's like the rooster crowing.
For Coco Puffs. Yeah. For Romo Coco Puffs.
Yeah. So, but it's part of the convention too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually, we've been. The first 2 years we did it outside of the con, the days leading up to it, and then it was the con, and now it's integrated with the con, so it'll be actually a discrete part of the convention where scholars will be up there not only presenting their papers on scholarly topics that involve pop culture and comic books, but we'll also have a lot of educational programming tied in with the literary conference, Romo Coco.
I have to ask a question. My audience really can't see this because this is radio.
Uh-huh.
We all have faces for radio. But you've got a Batman symbol around your left ring finger.
It's my tattoo.
Tattoo, yes.
It is a tattoo.
What's the story
the
behind
symbol.
This?
So that's on my ring finger. That's actually my wedding ring.
Mm.
And my wife has... It's on analog, her own analog of the bat symbol on her ring finger. So we got married. We had our physical rings. We thought, you know, this is one way to show our unity, obviously, because it's tattoos and they're not coming off. But also our love of Batman, which has always been, you know, it's kind of at the heart of everything that I've done since I was a kid. And what we're doing here is Batman. I can talk about that later. But mm-hmm. Also, you know, we can't lose this.
Yeah.
No one's going to steal it from us.
It doesn't get lost in the laundry. It doesn't get... Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's also kind of a conversation starter.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I kind of have to know the story about that, about how you and your wife met and why...
Well, actually, the story on this was we just got this done a couple of years ago, so we've been married over 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and actually 11 years, but we just had this done a couple of years ago when the unfortunate shootings happened in Aurora. There was an event called the Aurora Rise.
Aurora Rises, yeah.
A little mini convention, and associated with that was a tattoo parlor that had donated, they were going to donate all proceeds from a 24-hour period for the Aurora Rise benefit. And so we thought, well, this is a great opportunity not only to get our first tattoo together, our togetherness tattoo, but also to benefit the obviously great cause. But it is a special symbol. It's the little bat signal symbol.
And you're a DC Comics person too, as well. Yeah. So that is some dedication.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of a wedding ring you can't lose, because oh my goodness, are those an investment?
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
quite.
Oh yeah, so you can't lose it.
So there's quite a few Batman guests actually at Denver Comic Con. Let's talk a little bit about about booking Adam West and Burt Ward and Jerry Lumar.
So we got a lot of the cast of the Batman 66, the original TV show.
I'm tempted to say the better TV show, because, well, I can't really think of any other TV shows.
Well, except for the animated series.
The animated series.
We also have Kevin Conroy, mm-hmm. the voice of the Batman animated series. And that was so influential to so many people, and it really got the ball started with a lot of animation.
It actually got, it actually had a big influence and helped with, Greg Weisman, who's also there, too. We interviewed him in a episode quite a few episodes back in the first Denver Comic Con that we attended in, 2012.
2012. Yeah. Yep. I remember seeing that interview, by the way, too.
It was, we did the audio thing for it. We went behind the curtains there. That was... Goodness, I have to say that over the years, it was amazing how much Denver Comic Con grew from 2012 to 2013. Just outstanding.
We actually, when we started out, we were preparing for, at the very start, we were thinking, 5,000 people. And so we had a space at the convention center that was appropriate for about 5,000 people. Then we started selling tickets and everything. We realized, wait a second, that's 5,000 people per day, and this space is not going to be big enough. So we moved up to a hall, and luckily had that ability to do that, because the economy was just starting to rebound. So they had some halls available, and so we got to move up to a hall. So we were planning on 5,000, we got 27,700. And so then the second year, I was planning on about 50,000, and we ended up getting about 61,000 people.
Oh, yes, yeah, so we had the press release on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would imagine that would have been a little bit scary, kind of a last minute panic when you realize that, wait, this could be a little bit bigger than we thought.
It was. It was. So we've been scrambling ever since. And then, of course, the last year, there were lines that they weren't unexpected, but they were unwelcome. So we've been working for the last year to make sure that none of that's going to happen. Sure, you're going to have lines, because anytime you get 75,000 people,
oh goodness,
in one place,
yeah.
But they're not going to be. Everybody's going to be well trained, and the people in line management are going to know exactly what to do, where people should go, and all that. So that will not be a problem this year.
We took pictures of the lines last year, as well as in our coverage, and we'll be taking pictures at Denver Comic Con this year. And awesome. Well, we expect to see a few lines. That's what happens. I mean, we've covered many E3s and other conventions. Lines happen, people.
Yeah. Lines, it's inevitable. You put 75,000 people in one spot, you got to wait in line somewhere. Just think of it as Disneyland. When you get in, it's going to be a thrill ride you'll never forget.
And it looks like there's a lot of programming this year at Denver Comic Con. What is the programming you guys are providing that you're looking forward to the most?
Well, I'm looking forward to everything, because I've been working on it for a year. And it's all just now, it all comes together at the con. But we have tracks of programming, specific topics that we've filled up. Doctor Who, have 25 panels of various topics of Doctor Who, companions, trivia, because we found that the first 2 years... the first year we had a couple of Doctor Who panels, and they were swamped. And so we, five times that much, we had almost 10 panels last year, 8 or 10, and those were swamped. So now we have 25, it gets its whole room for the entire weekend. This is going to be nonstop Doctor Who programming.
I know quite a few people who look for who are looking forward to that.
Yeah, so they'll, so Doctor Who fans, not only with our guests Peter Davison and Sylvester McCoy, we just announced, and we may have some surprises later on. But the bottom line is that we have a lot of Doctor Who programming, so it's sort of a mini Doctor Who con. But that's not all. We have Walking Dead and zombies. We have
and zombie the Arrow.
And Arrow, we've got the. We've got Stephen Amell from Arrow, and maybe more coming.
Just there's a couple. There's still weeks. It's we're still weeks. Few weeks still away.
30 days away. 30 days that's away. When all the action happens. So just keep watching our Facebook page. But so we have the celebrity tracks. Obviously, we have then we have the things that are specifically guided by our literacy and the pop culture movement. The education track. We have more education panels that involve pop culture and comic books and so forth than I think an education conference has, including the Romo Coco. Oh, yeah. And we have an author's track, a literary track, so we're bringing in authors from the Star Wars universe and young adult novels and so forth, and they're all going to be talking not only to authors about the writing process, but giving program for kids about literature for kids, young adult lit, a la Harry Potter, but also their creations.
Oh, things like, you know, also some of the newer young adult fiction like Divergent or The Maze Runner and such.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Hunger Games is
oh, yeah, too, that, so. that one's popular.
But so young adult literature, it's wonderful to see it just exploding. Stuff for kids and teenagers to read, and of course kids and teenagers is what we're all about at Denver Comic Con, so there's a lot of that programming aimed right for them. So there's tons for kids to do if they want the more, I don't know, scholarly kinds of things. They can learn about what to read next, or they can you know,
the Maze Runner series if you haven't. The movie's going to be kind of amazing.
And we have lots of My Little Pony stuff, too, which appeals to all ages, as we know.
That has kind of a huge following.
Yes, yes.
But going back to comic books, comic books seem to have been a very special part of your life.
Absolutely.
They seem to... I would say that comic books help shape and mold us into who we are.
Yes.
They help us with like problems or like self-esteem and
Absolutely.
Such. And I'd like to take a moment to go a little bit more serious and talk about, well, I've noticed something at a lot of conventions. Mm-hmm. We do cover quite a few conventions here in the area. And one thing I've always noticed about conventions is the fans at conventions. When going into a convention or at a convention, there's a lot of energy with the fans, with they're very outgoing. You see lots of enthusiastic cosplay, costuming, art, all this stuff. Lots of high energy that they bring into that. And then when they're outside of the convention, they seem to hide that or kind of tends to go away. What is your suggestion for a fan of comic books or of, I guess you could say, quote, geeky, end quote, material, of taking that convention energy, that convention high from being at Denver Comic Con or other conventions, and how can they take that energy into their everyday life at school or at work or with their family? What are your suggestions for bringing that convention energy out to your everyday life?
That's a great question. And that's a little bit part of what we're about in the programming. And part of programming, of course, is the cosplay. We have a huge contingent of cosplayers. I've been to dozens of conventions over the last 15 years throughout the country. So I've been to them all, from San Diego to New York, and even the little ones in Charlotte and so forth. And the cosplay community here and our cosplayers with the con are second to none. It's huge. People are working on their costumes and how they want to express themselves throughout the year, and this is like the big event. This is me getting to express myself. So I think what you see is we've all felt an inability to express the real you. You don't feel like you can, for lack of a better term, come out which applies in a lot of ways. And so to keep harping on the programming, we have a full track of programming that answers, hopefully, that question. How can you feel not alienated? Be part of the community. We know that when you come to the convention, you feel like you're with kindred spirits, and you can express yourself. But when you can't, like you said, when you're out of the convention element, you don't feel like you can express yourself. And so that's part of our program. So I don't know if I've got the answer, but I know that we're going to try to provide the answer. And, for example, a kid named Grayson Bruce, you may have heard of him, he was bullied at school. So he's 9 years old, and he was bullied at school for wearing a My Little Pony backpack. And it made the news, and his Facebook page has more likes than Denver Comic Con's, which is great because that means people are getting the message. We don't want to be bullied anymore, okay? We are not necessarily the majority, but we all have our insecurities, and we all have our our feelings that we want to express. So we are going to now be able to say, if I want to wear a My Little Pony backpack, and if that's how if My Little Pony is how I want to live my life according to those philosophies of togetherness and friendship,
which is magic,
mm-hmm. then you're going to let me. Okay? So it's an attitude, but it's also the fact that we get it out there. We get it out there in front of people, and that's what we're trying to help with. And you realize you're not alone. That just because there's a bully out there that is trying to keep you from expressing yourself, that's just one person. You have friends. You have people just like you who like what you like. And as soon as we can, say, get together at a con, you realize, I've got friends. There are other people who feel the same way I do and feel differently than that bully. So, and there's more of us who like My Little Pony than the bully who just wants to make us feel bad. Mm. And so if we can be together and we can be, and through that process feel like we can express ourselves and not worry about it, that's how to combat that problem. So that's why we have our diversity track of programming. And within that, we're bringing out Grayson Bruce, that kid who was bullied. And bless his heart, boy, a 9-year-old kid is going to get up there and do panels about, hey, kids, you like My Little Pony, or you like, I don't know, Walking Dead, or Pokemon, or Yu-Gi-Oh, or anything else. Let's stand together and say, hey, this is cool. We're cool. You over there, the bully, or the person who's making fun of us, you're uncool. And that's uncool. And then not only will you feel like you have some togetherness, some backup, some people behind you, but also the bullies of the world will realize, that's not cool.
Yeah, so you just, all get along.
Right.
You don't that's have
not,
to.
That's not yeah. cool. I don't think I'll bully anymore. Maybe I want to be part of the cool kids who are into My Little Pony or something like that. So
now, we kind of went a little bit over our 15-minute mark, that's okay. Before we end, was there anything in particular you wanted to promote or to let us know about Denver Comic Con?
Absolutely.
Like URLs and where to find more information?
Well, one thing I really, really want to promote is our Real Heroes Independent Filmmakers series.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't let you leave without going on and on about that.
Absolutely.
The Real Heroes Filmmakers series is more than just a film festival. There's plenty of those out there, and other conventions have that. But what it is really to bring in filmmakers, TV makers who make the shows and make the films that are on TV and film and the big screen, and they will give presentations and demonstrations about 50 hours worth or more about how film and TV is made, the behind the scenes. And I know that I'm kind of a process junkie, and I know that I'm not alone. That people love to know, how are films made? How are they edited? How are they filmed? What does a producer do? What does a director do? And we're bringing in all these people, and including the people from Sci-Fi's Face Off. Three people from this year's Face Off, including the winner and runner up, are going to be there. And Rashad Santiago is going to bring his 16-foot dinosaur, or not dinosaur, I'm sorry, the Godzilla suit that he has constructed. And it's something he can put on, and it's 16 feet long. It's going to be at their booth and show people not only how do you do this, how do you make these things, make props, but also how do you put on makeup and prosthetics and things like that. So, and we're going to be showing films and documentaries of the people that are going to be part of the filmmaker series. Very proud of it, and we have tons of cool surprises. So I really, if you have any interest in how things are made, how movies and TV are made, that's a huge part of our con that we're really proud of, something really cool, is the filmmaker series. And it's all included in the prize. You come in and you can sit in those panel rooms and watch this.
I noticed you mentioned Face Off real quick. Isn't Gigi Edley, if I might be mispronouncing her last name. She's from Farscape, and she's also doing another show that's on the same channel called...
Jim Henson's
Creature Shop Challenge. I've been watching that one. If you know any spoilers about it, don't say anything.
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
No, I haven't seen any of it.
Because like they're on the finale's up coming up this week. Should be interesting. But yeah,
she'll be there too. Yeah, and that's right up our alley. I mean, talking about making.
Definitely, especially making considering Weta will be there too.
Yes, thank you for reminding me.
No problem. It's like I edited the press. I look through the press releases. I do my little editor's hyperbole notes where we break down like how awesome this is or stuff. Like we did a hyperbole note about a Nintendo press release statement that was actually about 8 times longer than the Nintendo press release statement. It's our way of adding an editorial at the end of a press release, because too often you'll see places just completely whole cloth copy a press release and they maybe change one or two things.
Right.
And I felt, well, let's see, I want the press release there so we have the general information, because that's what reporting's about, but then I want to get a little journalistic on it. Real quick question, what was your degree in when you, CU?
CU, it was history.
History.
Classical history, like Rome and Greece. So, I do great on Jeopardy. And that's the only place I get to use it. Well, actually, I'm making plans to go to Rome and Greece next year.
Kind of a honeymoon thing, like Miss 10th anniversary, maybe 14th or 15th?
It's going to be 12th anniversary. 12th anniversary. Yeah. So...
That's the Rome... Roman holiday.
Yeah, the Roman holiday. That's exactly what. So, yeah.
Well, good luck on that.
Thank you.
Well, this has been Philip Wesley with Radio DMG. I've been talking to...
Bruce McIntosh.
From
Denver Comic Con and Comic Book Classroom.
So when is Denver Comic Con this year?
June 13th through 15th, 2014. 3 full days. Friday's a full day. We expanded that, so it's 10 to 7 every day. Except for a little bit earlier on Sunday. Lots of programming and lots to do for your money.
And really quick, where can people buy tickets?
Go to denvercomiccon.com. And so it's Denver Comic Con with 2 C's in the middle there, .com, and click on tickets.
And thank you very much.
Thanks.
And to our audience, good night. Thank you.
that was our show for today. Thank you for tuning in to Radio DMG. We'll be seeing you next week with more original and awesome content. So, look forward to it. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and you are now caught up.
Just going to say something real quick, and go ahead and say something.
Okay, my name is Bruce McIntosh.
Okay.
Is that enough for you?
Finally, after years of work, my ultimate invention is complete. A team of intelligent robots designed to fight evil and protect humanity. Metal Men, sound off!